Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We are here live every day to address your questions and real-life issues by phone at 1-800-677-9377. If there's something you'd like to talk about, call now, 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God offers true freedom and life in Jesus Christ. That's Basic Gospel, and we invite you to stay tuned to learn how the Basic Gospel intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. It's Basic Gospel. Well, Bob and Richard, we've had an interesting few days here in the Dallas area with that big old ice storm that kept us from being live on this broadcast on Friday. I hope everybody listening enjoyed the and was benefited by the repeat broadcast. But, you know, even though there's still ice on the ground and the roadways today, we're here live and ready to go and want to hear from you. So give us a call, 1-800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. Yesterday I hosted a broadcast, Andrew Farley Live. It's an hour-long live call-in program, and the first caller jumped on the line and said, how can we experience the love of God? And I thought it was just a very profound question, but as we talked, you know, I think our modern culture really thinks of love as more of a feeling.
Yeah.
You know, how do I feel the love of God? That's what we really want to know. But love is an action. God's love is an action that He's taken on our behalf for our benefit, and we see that love in action at the cross.
Right.
So we have to get grounded there if we want to know what the love of God is all about. We have to look at the cross of Jesus Christ. Paul wrote about that in Romans 5, while we were yet sinners, God demonstrated His love for us in that He sent Jesus to die in our place. So love is an action, and that action was demonstrated in just full display, in vivid detail at the cross. And it's at the cross we learn about the love of God. And so when we experience the love of God, it's something that transcends feelings. It's not an emotion. It's a solid reality. Just as sure as anything that you can touch or feel, you know, with your hands, and it's just so powerful. But if you want to know about the love of God, you have to start at the cross. And tomorrow we're going to begin, you know, 2 weeks leading up to Christmas, or the next several weeks leading up to Christmas, and to look at the fact that Jesus Christ is a Savior and what that exactly means. How did He save us? And that's going to take us right to the cross.
Yeah.
And that's where we're going to learn some really, really good news.
Right.
This is good news that's to bring joy to our hearts. And as we march up to Christmas, we're really going to see why it is good news.
That is good news, and it's Basic Gospel, everybody. This is Basic Gospel. Thanks for joining us. The lines are wide open at 1-800-677-9377. We want to hear from you on this edition. If you've got a Bible question you'd like to pose, if you have some life issue that you're facing, give us a call. We'll discuss it with you right now, 1-800-677-9377. Guys had an email question from Barbara, who lives in the U.K., as a matter of fact, and she says, I hear preachers say that the favor of God is, as I see it, a recipe for having things or getting preferential treatment. Is that what it really means? I see it more as being in God's family, that I am His child, so that I am favored, because He loves me and knows me. Can you please explain to me the favor of God?
That's a great question, isn't it, Richard?
Yeah, it is.
And favor really ties to the word blessing.
Uh-huh.
And we see that word being used throughout the Word of God, that we're blessed. And what that means to be blessed is that we are in God's favor. And there's only one way to be in God's favor, and that's to be in Christ. When we are in Christ Jesus, we are now in the favor of God. We look at those scenes in the gospel accounts, the baptism of Jesus, for instance, and this dove descends, and there's this voice from heaven, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. So the favor of God upon the Son, Jesus Christ. And as a result, all of us who are in Christ, we are in God's favor. And it's a continual position that we're in. We're never out of God's favor. Because we can never get out of Christ once we're in Christ. So I think she's just spot on as far as her understanding of the favor of God. We think of it in terms of reward, don't we?
Yes.
That if I'm in God's favor, he's blessed me financially, he's blessed me with good health, he's blessed me with all the physical things that we would look at in the world and say, hey, they're a successful person. They must be in the favor of God. And then we would look at those folks who didn't have those things, who were struggling financially, who were sick, and who say, and they must not be in God's favor. And boy, we just have a really messed up opinion of the favor of God. We're in God's favor when we're in Christ, and the only way to get there is by grace.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's no other way.
Yeah. Well, as I said, Barbara wrote to us from the United Kingdom, and it's so wonderful to hear from our listeners who tune in on our website, basicgospel.net, to access the broadcast each day in the United Kingdom, in South Africa, Australia, literally all around the world. People are listening, and so we're grateful to God for that particular forum. Right now, you have an opportunity to be a part of this edition at 1-800-677-9377 by phone, 1-800-677-9377. The lines are wide open. We await hearing from you. A question from Donald, who writes to us from southern Mississippi, says, Bob, this is on my heart. The question is, am I forsaking the assembly of the church if I watch the service that you do on Sundays with my family and don't go to a church service at all? I've always felt that it was okay, but at times I wonder. That's from Donald in South Mississippi.
Well, there's 168 hours in a week, and there's a lot of opportunities to meet with other believers. We try to limit it to Sunday. If you're not involved in a church group that meets on Sunday morning from 9 in the morning till 12, then you're just forsaking the assembly of believers. And that's not what that passage is saying to us that was written by the writer of Hebrews. He's just saying we need each other. We're a body. Yes. We need to connect. We need to fellowship one with another because we're not meant to carry on this journey with Christ alone. We're to do it in community. Now, we can meet with one another at lunch, you know, during the week. We can have small group Bible studies. We can find all sorts of places to meet together as believers in Christ. In the early church, they met in homes. They met under trees. But they got together. They prayed together. They encouraged one another. They read the scriptures together. And they grew together in the love of Christ. So I think it's important for us to really connect one with another. I think that's where we're going to see the fullness of Christ. I don't think we can really see that individually. I think we have to see that corporately. So just because you choose to watch a service online doesn't mean you're forsaking the assembly. If you're choosing not to meet with believers throughout the week, that's when you're forsaking. Yes.
Yeah. Yesterday was a great example of this. We couldn't hold our normal Sunday service here. You couldn't get in the parking lot because of the ice. So we canceled church. Oh, there's a group of people who watch online regularly. They still met. They got together. They studied the Word of God together. And they did fellowship.
Online.
And it was a perfectly good thing. You know, there's so many creative ways to get together that we have these days that they didn't have in the first century.
Yeah.
Take advantage of them.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
Well, that's a great question. We appreciate hearing from you. 1-800-677-9377. We still have time on the clock. We want to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher's here. Richard Piper's here. And thank you for joining us.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go to New York and talk with Angela listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Angela.
Okay. It's me, Brother Bob and Richard. In the experience and whatever I tried, it's not working. I cannot find one person. I have visited churches, and we are in apostasy, and we stepped in the end times, and whatever in 2 Timothy chapter 3 is being presented by the Lord, you know, His word, that's exactly what is happening. It says, stay away from such people. What shall I do? Because this is the pain, that I don't have somebody with whom I can communicate the word, the prayer, what the person thinks or feels, whatever, it's a fellowship. I know exactly what fellowship is. It's friendship, desiring somebody else's good, and discussing whatever, doubt, whatever we have.
Well, Angela, I think you make some good observations. The church today is in sad shape. We just see pockets of people who are really connected to the death, what burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ.
What resurrection? Nothing. They don't want to hear anything about anything. They come to church and they pass by like plastic people from plastic. I have no idea.
The plastic church of America. I think that's a good description. Yeah, we put on masks. We're phony. We're all of those things.
Exactly.
And it's the gospel of Jesus Christ that takes those masks off.
Not
that
like
enables
that at all. My goodness.
Yeah. Well, Angela, let me do this. We have some good friends in New York. Let me get some information from you. And let's see if we can connect you to some of our good friends there, okay?
I'm crying all constantly because the Lord reveals to me, I need to tell somebody. It's not possible. It's not good. It's unhealthy.
Yeah. Well, Angela, you hold the line and let us get some information, and we will connect you with some of our friends there in New York. We sure appreciate your call. Well, let's go down to New Brunswick, New Jersey, and talk with Susan. Listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Susan.
Hello.
Hello, Susan. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
Thank you.
How can we help you today?
Okay, I've been hearing a lot about the full blood moon. It's going to be on the Jewish days, 2014 through 2015. I know that we don't know the time of the day when, you know, Jesus Christ, you know, is going to come and get a saint, but have you heard about the full blue moon? And if you have, can you explain to me?
Well, let me just read what Paul writes in Colossians. The reality of what you're looking for and what you want to experience is found in Christ Jesus, and you connect with him through faith. Now, there's lots of people that are going to tell you, no, no, you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to carry on with these religious festivals, and those things are going to be significant to you. Well, Paul addressed that in Colossians. He says, therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ Jesus. So my advice to you, Susan, would be, if you want to listen to the conversation about the blood moon and what people speculate about that and what's going to happen, that's fine to do. But don't buy into it as something of significance as far as God is concerned. What was significant to God was the fact that he sent Jesus. What was significant to God was the fact that Jesus died. He shed his blood to take away your sins. He was buried. Then on the third day, he was raised back to life. That's the sign that we need. That is the demonstration of God's love. Stay focused right there. Keep your feet firmly planted in the gospel. And let this other stuff just be other stuff.
Okay.
Yep,
thank you so much.
You're welcome, Susan. Thanks for your call.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. Let's go back to Jersey City, New Jersey, and talk to Glenard.
Yes.
Welcome. How can we help you?
Yes. Well, what happened is I've been married like 3 years, right? And recently my spouse visited her daughter in Minnesota with the thought of helping her move in July. She didn't move in July. She moved in August. I went to visit in August. I stayed 5 days. I came back, and my wife hasn't came home yet. So we talked briefly, you know, and what she was trying to tell me that, you know, she didn't want to come home. And then I talked to her. She said she's coming home. Thanksgiving, that didn't happen. She said she's coming home soon. And I'm in the Word, and I know that the Word is saying the only way that you could, divorce your wife is if she commit adultery. And that's not the case, but I don't know what to do, you know, as far as my wife abandoning me. you know.
So you've been married. Let's get some of the facts right. Let me get those clear in my mind. You married this person 3 years ago?
Yes.
Okay. Are the two of you in Christ? Is she a born-again believer?
She was coming to church regular when she was home, but as of going to Minnesota, she hasn't went to church yet. And when I visited up there that Sunday, I went up there on a Thursday, and that Sunday, upon passing different churches, that Sunday I decided to go to a church because any time I'm traveling, I'm not talking about
necessarily going to a church. I'm talking about being true, born-again believers in Christ. A lot of people go to church who don't know Jesus.
That's what I'm talking about. She was diligent in church when she was home in Jersey City.
Yeah.
So I don't know what's taking place now.
Well, I think all you can do in a situation like this is to talk and find out why exactly she's not coming home. There are reasons there, and obviously she has not shared those reasons with you, and I think it's important to find out what those reasons are. Obviously,
right.
She's choosing to stay with her daughter, and how old is her daughter?
Well, her daughter is, I believe, 20-something years old, 26.
Okay, so the two of y'all, this was her second marriage, I'm assuming?
No. This is her first marriage.
Okay. So you're her first husband? That's what I'm asking.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I just think you have to kind of uncover what's really going on, because until you do, you really don't know what the next step is.
Right.
She may be afraid to be in a relationship. She may there could be a thousand things going on, but you got to talk. And it may be worthwhile taking another trip to Minneapolis and just to sit down with her. Take that initiative. Show her that you're interested, that you're concerned, and reach out to her instead of trying to get her to reach back to you. So that's what I would do. If you really love her, I would find a way to get to Minneapolis as quickly as I can. And I would say to her, let's spend some time and let's really find out what's going on. I want you to be honest. I want you to just lay it out there, and then we can figure out what our next steps should be.
Thank you.
Well, let me do this, too. Let me put you on hold. I've done a CD on marriage. Let me send that to you. You listen through it, and maybe that will give you some talking points to have to talk with her, okay?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, you hold the line.
All the resources we talk about, including the series on marriage, are available from our store, store.basicgospel.net. We hope you'll take a visit to the store, look around, and take advantage of the resources that are there for your spiritual edification.
Yes, indeed. You know, in a radio broadcast like this, you only have just so much time to talk about a question, talk about an issue, and that's why we have these resources to carry the conversation on further and help people get into the Word of God and to see the framework of God's love and grace in which to think through these problems and in which to make decisions as far as which path to take. So these resources are very, very important, and we certainly want you to take advantage of those. They're very helpful, they're user-friendly, and they're designed just for you to help you grow in your faith in Jesus Christ.
Store.basicgospel.net. We hope you'll take advantage of it.
Let's go back to New York and talk with Jay, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Jay.
Hi.
Welcome.
Okay. I spoke with you some weeks ago, and we were talking about do not forsake the gathering of yourselves. I have to disagree with you on that.
Okay. Tell me why.
All right. I have a form of autism known as Asperger syndrome.
Okay.
Recently, Susan Boyle was just, evaluated with that. And we're sort of different. We don't really click with people. We have very weird hand-eye coordination, or socialization skills are very strange. And, like, I think, I don't know if you remember me. I said that some of the churches I went to, they said I was the son of perdition, the book of Daniel. I said I was the Antichrist. They said I was a devil. They called the police on me. They fed me with physical violence. And whenever that happened, I would backslide.
Well, I can imagine. That's disconcerting stuff.
Yeah, but it happened a lot. The funny thing is, like, it would take me years to get back. And whenever I would not go to church, but I would listen maybe to a show like yours or watch maybe a Christian television show with Christian teaching, I would be strengthened again, and I would have to rededicate myself. And then he would tell me, oh, you need to go back to a church, you know, because you need, you know, not to forsake the gathering of stuff. I said, when that happens, you know, it's bad. Then I would go back, and it would happen again.
Yeah. Well, Jay, my answer a few minutes ago wasn't an answer saying for people to go to church. It was an answer saying for people to connect with other believers.
But that's very difficult with me, too.
Yeah. Well, and that's, Jay, where I think every person has to step back and say, you know, God knows who I am, God knows my needs, and God is big enough to send the right person into my life to encourage me, to be a friend to me.
And that hasn't really happened yet. Yeah. The funny thing is, I don't really click with people to be honest.
Yeah. Well, I understand that, Jay. And I'm just saying that in that situation, if you have a desire to connect with somebody, to have a real friend.
Not really.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, if you do, you trust the Lord with that and allow Him to bring somebody into your path that can be a benefit to you.
I don't really, but I mean, like, when I listen to your show, it's almost like a connecting with a believer.
Yeah, you know? And I agree with that as well. That's exactly right. I mean, that's why I love radio, because it's a one-to-one communication.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm talking to you as a friend. I feel like you're talking to me as a friend. And I think there is a deep connection there. So I agree. I think radio is a powerful tool to connect us one with another. So I'm glad you're tuned in.
Because ever since I haven't been going to church, believe it or not, I haven't backslid.
Yeah. Well, you're getting input. You're getting input from the Word of God, and certainly, you know, the description you gave of what your experience was in those churches. There's nothing of God in that at all.
No, it is not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Jay, God bless you, and thanks for your call today. And,
yeah, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you for letting us be a part of your life. We really appreciate that.
You're precious to me. Thank you very much.
Hey, thank you, Jay. Thanks for your call.
Very quickly, a final question from email. This is from Lewis, who lives in Brooklyn. Says, this is concerning Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him. Question is, does this scripture apply for believers only? What about unbelievers when they face difficulty? Are they alone to work things out on their own?
Well, God constantly is working, and, you know, I know in my life before I was a believer, you know, as I look back now, I certainly see the hand of God, and I think anybody could look back in their life and see the hand of God at work on their benefit, but if you continue to choose to live in rebellion toward God, you know, all of the things that He is working together are meaningless to you. Why? Because you want to do it your own. But those of us who have come to know Christ, I think we see His faithfulness in carrying out that promise, because we've been given eyes to see the goodness of what God is doing. And it increases our faith, increases our reliance upon Him. But the verse specifically addresses believers. That's what that verse is specifically talking about. The children of God who have come to know Jesus personally through faith in Him.
Well, Lewis, hope you're listening. Hope that's been a help to you. And thanks to each of those of you who called to be a part of this edition of Basic Gospel. I want to remind you also that all of the resources that we talk about on Basic Gospel are indeed available through our website at store.basicgospel.net. Again, that's store.basicgospel.net. Also, for late news about the ministry, including upcoming events and new study resources, click subscribe when you visit basicgospel.net to join our email list. And as a favor to us, if you like what you hear each day on this broadcast, please like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Basic Gospel RDO. As a reminder, we are here every day, Monday through Friday, to address your Bible questions and to provide encouragement from the Word of God. The only reason we provide a live broadcast is to allow you, our listeners, the opportunity to post those questions and real-life issues. Each day, we encourage you to call to fill up those phone lines. We want to speak with you. We plan to be back tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel, and we invite you to be a part of it. So until then, for Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and the ministry staff, I'm Bob Davis, wishing you a great afternoon and evening in the Lord Jesus Christ. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.